broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, my fellow Americans, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yes, indeed, we were live last Saturday. We had on two incredible guests, both hours. We had on Eldon Stahl with us. And Eldon Stahl is the new field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, doing a phenomenal job. And Eldon is going to be with us monthly on the broadcast going forward, usually on Thursdays. But, of course, I had last Thursday took a break, so we had him on Saturday. But he was also paired up with a good sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And we talked in detail about Joe Biden's unconstitutional executive orders. About 30 of them in 48 hours and just continuing to wreck Trump's administration's agenda. And before you get too, bent out of shape, we criticized and still criticize Donald Trump's executive orders as well. Why? Because executive orders are pretty much unconstitutional, folks. I say pretty much because I get that if you need to switch toilet paper in the White House, you might create an executive order to do so, and that could be within your own branch and legitimate and narrow in scope and everything. But the executive orders we see today wholesale are literally violating the checks and balances, the separation of powers. You know, a lot of the executive orders relate to legislative reality checks and or judicial reality checks, and we reject those, and it doesn't matter what president it comes from. We're against them. All right. White House lists hundreds of Trump accomplishments, economic boom, tax relief, deregulation, fair trade, energy independence, and more. Art Moore writes the piece for WND.com, and they had a list of Donald Trump accomplishments up on the White House website taken down by Biden. But don't worry, at that website I gave you, WND.com, Art Moore and crew, they archived it in a PDF, so you can still get it, even though the White House, Joe Biden and crew, has now taken it down. Is Trump derangement syndrome a real mental condition? Well, I don't know. You got the never Trumpers, the always Trumpers, and then you got the rest of us. I don't really want to criticize President Donald Trump, but I also want to be honest about when he does something wrong. I want to highlight the details of why it's wrong. When he does something right, I want to give him credit. And I want to do that based on principle, not based on person. I want to do that for Joe Biden, too, by the way. The importance of Congress and how to get a constitutional Congress. We talked about that in great detail as well with Eldon and the good sheriff. Hour two, they were both on together again. Second hour, 2 hours long, three of us in the round table. Election integrity, what can we do and what does the John Birch Society recommend we do? And it relates to the local level. That's what we do and what we need to be focused on. I'll tell you that right now. Should we, quote, will we ever give Biden credit for anything? The answer is we can't think of something that he deserves credit for. But when he does do something right, we should give him credit. Right? Shouldn't we? We even gave Bill Clinton credit back in the day for several things. And I suspect Joe Biden will be the same. Look, Joe Biden said we ought to be united. I don't think that Joe's really after being united. He wants it his way or you're a terrorist. That's a problem. But I get the united idea. As Dr. Scott Bradley said on this very broadcast last week, I think Friday, if we want to be united, why don't we be united on our oaths of office and our fidelity to the supreme law of the land. Amen to that, Dr. Bradley. Couldn't agree more. We also talked about, will Joe Biden issue a pardon to Donald Trump? Biden says that he would not pardon Trump, NBC News. Our guests, Mr. Dr. Scott Bradley and others, say, no, you know what, he won't give a pardon. Eldon didn't think a pardon would happen, neither did the good sheriff, but I think one might. I think there might be a way that Joe would pardon and or Democrats would pardon Donald Trump. Remember, Donald Trump didn't lock any of them up. He didn't even push to lock any of them up. So there was a lot of blame and a lot of criminal calling or calling out people for criminal activity and everything else. But nobody, as far as I can tell, nobody really got hardcore enough to arrest people. So you know what? Donald might get a pardon, folks. Senate leaders already have agreed to delay the trial of Trump. The plan would put off the historic proceeding. They're saying until February 9th. Is Trump, by the way, guilty of a single charge of incitement of insurrection for his alleged role at the U.S. Capitol? A majority of Americans, believe it or not, see their fellow citizens as the biggest threat to America's way of life. Did you know that? That's shocking to me. A majority of American citizens see their fellow citizens as the biggest threat to our way of life. And I asked the good sheriff and Eldon what they thought, and they felt like the biggest threat was government. And I have a hard time disagreeing with that. Wow. By the way, we talked about the good sheriff makes the Christian Science Monitor. Yeah, they had an article about Sheriff Richard Mack in there, and it was somewhat favorable. I was impressed. We also talked about Joe Biden admits there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic. So Joe says there's nothing we can do to change the direction of the pandemic. Shame on Joe. Shame on Joe Biden for that. And you say, well, we need to be united. Sam, lay off. No, when he says there's nothing we can do about the pandemic or to change the trajectory, that's a defeatist attitude big time, which I will not accept. There's a lot you can do about the pandemic, about the coronavirus. The first thing you can do, Joe, is tell the truth about the coronavirus. Because you know what? Most of what we've learned and most of what we think we know about the coronavirus, at least on a national mainstream scale, is an absolute globalist lie. And that's why. So the first thing you could do, Donald, is start telling the truth. All right. Welcome to the broadcast, Mr. Lowell Nelson.
Good morning, Sam. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so Joe says there's nothing he can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic. And I think he could. He could start by telling the truth, sir.
I think you're right, Sam. He could start by telling us the truth about what's really behind the, you know, big medicine, big pharma's encroachment upon our liberties, because that's essentially what it is. In cahoots with big government, they're the ones that, you know, authored the policy response to this coronavirus so-called pandemic, even though there's been really no excess deaths in the past year. A lot of the flu, a lot of the pneumonia, a lot of that's just been renamed COVID because they get more money for COVID than they do for flu. That's really no big deal, but policy response to it has been devastating to
and
economy.
What they would say is they would say that we are COCO deniers, yeah. And that would be their way to label us, manipulate the truth. We're not denying that there's a virus out there, but what we're saying to everyone is the way they're going about the solutions is all designed to destroy liberty and to ring the cash register. They could release ivermectin and talk about it as a fantastic solution. They could talk about our immune systems and a lot of things. They could not lock people down. They could let us obtain herd immunity. There's so many things they could do, but everything they're doing is the wrong approach. And evidence is starting to back this up more and more and more. Anyway, we'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds, but I wanted to start on that because last Saturday we talked about Joe Biden saying there's nothing that can be done. I mean, just what a defeatist attitude, to say the least. All right, well, I want to talk about the unwelcome return of the real purveyors of violence, Ron Paul, with an incredible column, Lowell.
Yeah, he's contrasting the relatively mild chaos at the Capitol on January 6th, called by the lamestream media a violent coup attempt. Yeah, he's contrasting that with real coups overseas where thousands of people actually die. He writes this. He says, quote, the incoming Biden administration looks to be chock full of actual purveyors of violent coups. Don't look to the lamestream media to report on this, however. Some of the same politicians and bureaucrats denouncing the ridiculous farce of the Capitol as if it were the equivalent of 9/11 have been involved for decades in planning and executing real coups overseas. Take returning Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, for example, he writes. More than anyone else, she is the face of the U.S.-led violent coup against the democratically elected government in Ukraine in 2014. Nuland not only passed out snacks in the coup to the coup leaders, she was caught on a phone call actually plotting the coup, right down to who would take power once the smoke cleared. End of quote. So really, it's so unlike the coup at the U.S. Capitol. Even calling that thing, the chaos at the U.S. Capitol, a coup is a super stretch. I mean, the action in Ukraine resulted in the death of thousands of civilians.
And by the way, what happened at the Capitol was a few well-planted folks on the left and the right who went ballistic on purpose to create a crisis. Those people will never be found. But the people that ran in the coattails and did stupid things will all be arrested and rounded up, and it'll all be blamed on the Donald. It's a false flag. We're talking about real coups here, ladies and gentlemen, where transfer of power occurs. The unwelcome return of the real purveyors of violence. Ron Paul, great column. We'll talk more about it with Lowell Nelson. CampaignForLiberty.org in seconds.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org, about an incredible column from Ron Paul, The Unwelcome Return to the Real Purveyors of Violence. And really, it talks about our overseas intervention and the violence and the death by the thousands, sadly, does it cause, Lowell?
He writes, it's hard to be optimistic about a Biden administration that has so many hyper-interventionist Obama retreads, he calls them. So let's take a look at just one more. Samantha Power, who Biden asked to head the U.S. Agency for International Development, commonly known as USAID, USAID, which is really a regime change agency. I mean, this is an agency that goes overseas. They call themselves the International Development, but what they really do is regime change. And you know, we haven't done a show on this, Sam, but there are well over 293 regime change operations since that first one against Assad. No, not Assad. Anyway, in 1953, that Ron Paul talks about.
And that's where it started. CIA heavily involved in it. USAID heavily involved in it. And really, you know, one of the criticisms that I have of President Donald Trump, he did a lot of good in many, many, many ways. He was the best president in my lifetime. I'll give him that. However, what he really failed at, in my opinion, is rejecting the foreign aid and the foreign intervention that happens around the world. He didn't do much to stop that. He didn't really press as hard as other presidents to advocate for it, but he didn't shut it down while he had the chance, Lowell.
Exactly right. Yeah, it was the Shah of Iran that it was the overthrow, the overthrow of the existing guy and installation of the Shah of Iran in 1953 that was the first of these, you know, almost 300 regime change operations. And USAID has a big hand in a lot of those. Anyway, Samantha Power is going to be the head of the agency, the head of the USAID. Now, Power, who served on President Obama's National Security Council staff, argued passionately and successfully that U.S. attack on the Gaddafi government in Libya would result in a liberation of that people and the outbreak of democracy in the country. But in reality, her justification was all based on lies, and the U.S. assault has left nothing but murder and mayhem there in Libya. Gaddafi's relatively peaceful, if authoritarian, government has been replaced by radical terrorists and even slave markets. End of quote. Straight from the Ron Paul column. So, Sam, we hold really, you know, little hope for a non-interventionist foreign policy from the Biden administration. Now, that non-interventionist foreign policy is one of the bedrock missions of the Campaign for Liberty. So how long will it be before we go to war in Syria or back to war against Iraq or Afghanistan? But as Ron Paul concludes, quote, we have a unique opportunity.
Well, if we're united as a people around the world and kind and gentle and everything else, then we won't be going to war, Lowell.
That's right, man. We can denounce these warmongers. We can push for peaceful, a non-interventionist foreign policy. So that's up to us, folks.
And that's what we ought to be doing as well.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
All right, Gary, go ahead, sir.
Not only praying for peace and doing things to promote peace and kindness around the world, but, you know, insisting with our Congress critters that Congress have a non-interventionist foreign policy.
If there's enough of us, we can win the fight, though. Let's be very clear about that. We just need people to understand it and people to stand up for it and demand that out of their representatives, or we elect somebody else who will carry the ball for peace. And that's something we really need to work on and educate the American people about. Gary Barnett speaks out boldly, spot on column once again. Prepare for extreme tyranny, the likes of which have never before been seen in this country. Scary stuff, Lowell.
I'll say, enlightening but scary. He writes, quote, what we face today and what is coming in the near future is pure, unadulterated, totalitarian madness. And so long as the people of this country remain indifferent to this tyranny, it will worsen and escalate every single day until nothing of value remains. End of quote. That's pretty sobering. I mean, he believes the end of America is just around the corner. Maybe it is. I hope not. But he writes just some real sobering stuff here. I just got to read this. He says, the controlling scum in power seeks the end of this economy, the end of all freedom, the end of joy, the end of travel, the end of independent thought, the end of any realistic intellect, and the end of sanity. This is where we are headed. And only the masses that are in most respects to blame for this takeover can stop it. Just what you said, Sam, only the masses, you and me, we're the only ones that can stop it. I mean, they're not going to stop themselves, that's for sure. And continuing, he says, that does not bode well for those of us willing to fight for our freedom, as we are now in the minority. The risk to the actual freedom fighters is absolute, but without those willing to risk all for their freedom, then little hope of a return to liberty is possible. All of us that will actively dissent, disobey state orders, call out the criminal government, are now targets of this heinous governing system. Every tactic necessary to eliminate resistance will be used against us. This is already beginning as Biden declares war on domestic terrorism. ex-CIA Director John Brennan said Biden's intel community are moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about the pro-Trump insurgency that harbors religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians, end of quote. That's what Brennan said. And then the Barnett continues with, all of these are, according to Brennan, insurgents, and he and the so-called intelligence community seem to be salivating at the prospect of war against the American people. This is a dire threat to anyone that disagrees with or stands against the state, end of quote. That's like Barnett's opening salvo in his column, Sam. But Brennan is not the only one saying this trite, by the way. For example, Representative AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, asked this. She said, quote, is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? End of quote. You got Robert Reich, Labor Secretary under Clinton and an advisor to Obama. He tweeted this, when this nightmare is over, we need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to name every official, politician, executive, and media mogul whose greed and cowardice enabled this catastrophe. And then you got Dick Costello, the former CEO of Twitter, saying this, me first capitalists are going to be the first people lined up against the wall and shot in the revolution. I'll happily provide video commentary. End of tweet. That's Dick Costello, former CEO of Twitter, saying that, Sam. And this is what the lamestream media is broadcasting every day, over and over. This roundup of the Trumpers, because they are now domestic terrorists. So, returning to Barnett's column, we read this. Criminalizing opposition to the political class is so insanely dangerous to the people that it can only be described as a policy contrived by psychopathic and evil dictatorial monsters as a way to gain total control over society through force. This is not an exaggeration, as what is called domestic terrorism is being openly discussed, and new legislation is not only being considered, but is already being implemented in some states.
Now, the hypocrisy to all this is that Joe Biden calls for unity while launching war on domestic terrorism. And at first glance, you go, well, that's a good idea. I'm against terrorism. I'm for unity. That's great. But then when you got to understand, what does Joe mean when he says, hey, domestic terrorism? He doesn't mean what you and I mean, ladies and gentlemen, because every one of us would like to jettison terrorism of all kinds, foreign, domestic. I mean, you know, hey, who wants terrorism? The problem is that if you believe that the election was a fraud, or if you believe that 9/11 happened, or if you believe that Barack Obama's birth certificate's a problem, or, and it doesn't matter what you believe about these things, you are a birther, you are a truther, you are a domestic terrorist. And that's kind of the problem with this whole scenario, is because they don't mean what we mean when we discuss these things, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the part you better get, and you better get it quick. And Gary really points kind of these things out, that, you know what? What does launching war on domestic terrorism mean when we're united? Who are you going to launch war on if you're united, right? What I mean is, when you dig into this, you go, you know what? This is beyond 1984-ish, lol.
Yes, it is, Sam. And I highly suggest everybody read the full column. It's at LewRockwell.com. Gary D. Barnett is the name of the author. And every column he writes, I mean, is excellent, and this one in particular is just stunning and sobering. It's enlightening and both sobering. And
here's what's interesting to me. Joe Biden's going to keep Reyes, or Reyes, an FBI director still. That's an interesting twist, too. Mm-hmm. I guess it just proves Donald didn't drain the swamp as much as he shoulda, coulda, woulda.
For sure.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Caitlin Johnstone wants to chime in here, too, with an incredible column. We'll talk about that coming up in seconds with Lowell Nelson on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Five people, including a pregnant woman, have been found shot dead inside a home in Indianapolis, Indiana, in an apparent targeted attack, the city's police chief said, describing the killings as a mass murder and different kind of evil. Police Chief Randall Taylor said police believe the deadly shootings were not random and were a targeted attack. No suspects are in custody at this time. President Biden is expected to reinstate a ban on most non-U.S. citizens entering the country, including people from Brazil, the United Kingdom, and now South Africa, because of a concerning variant of the virus. Arrivals from Ireland and 26 countries in Europe that allow travel across open borders will also be banned under new CDC guidelines. Sarah Sanders, Donald Trump's former chief spokeswoman, is running for Arkansas governor. A senior campaign official told the Associated Press, the daughter of former Governor Mike Huckabee, Sanders had been widely expected to run for office after leaving the White House in 2019. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A law preventing transgender people from entering military service is expected to be lifted. USA Radio News' Jeremy Scott reports.
Trump announced the ban via Twitter 6 months after taking office. It took effect in 2019. Sources tell CBS that the Pentagon will revert to policy enacted during the Obama administration in 2016 that allows transgender Americans to serve openly. President Biden plans to live up to his campaign promises to repeal the ban. Reports are that he plans to do so through an executive order as soon as Monday. It's expected to take place at a ceremony for newly confirmed Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. Austin also said he planned to repeal the ban at his Senate confirmation hearing last week. The Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law found in a 2014 study that there were an estimated 15,000 transgender military members serving. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
A UCLA Williams Institute study in 2016 estimated 1.6 million transgender people in America. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson breaking it down just for you. Lowell Nelson is... Well, he's with Campaign for Liberty, doing a phenomenal job. Hey, Lowell, are you still the Utah coordinator? That was supposed to be temporary, right?
Yeah, that was temporary assignment, but I'm still doing it, and happy to be helping with the cause of liberty here in Utah.
Well, we are grateful for the permanent nature of
temporary
in this case. Yeah. Wow. All right. Caitlin Johnstone chimes into this. In my opinion, wow, is her article crazy. It's called, quote, or number sign, or hashtag, Trump's New Army. And it's, what, a viral video, Lowell?
Yeah, sure is, Sam. Trump's New Army, hashtag, Trump's New Army. The video the liberals put together, and it is one of the craziest and yet one of the scariest videos you'll ever watch. I watched it last night for the first time. I guess it's been out since last Wednesday or so, even before last Wednesday, because as of last Wednesday, the video had some 20,000 shares and over 2.6 million views. Well, that is if big tech is to be believed. And most of the comments are supportive. Well, and if you don't know if you can believe that either. See, they govern the feed of comments, you know, and so it might be the case that 100 people are opposed and one is supportive, and yet they can design the feed so that that one gets displayed and the other 99 don't. So it's hard to know whether this truly is a real popular video, but it's out there, and I watched it last night. Basically, Sam, it says that on January 20th, and so you know it was made before the inauguration, It says Donald Trump will no longer be commander-in-chief. He will lose control of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Special Forces, and America's nuclear arsenal. And Winslow, Don Winslow is the name of the fellow who produced this video, and it's his voice that begins with this narration. He says, on January 20th, Donald Trump will become commander-in-chief of a different army, this army. Well, then viewers were shown footage of Trump rallies while being told that they're looking at radical, extreme conservatives, also known as, wait for it, domestic terrorists. They are hidden among us, disguised behind regular jobs, Winslow says. They are your children's teachers. They work at supermarkets, malls, doctor's offices, and many are police officers and soldiers. Winslow says, we have to fight back. And then he exhorts viewers to become citizen warriors armed with computers and cell phones to monitor extremists on the internet and to report their findings to the authorities. And Johnstone writes this. He says, an aggressively manufactured push to get an army of citizens spying on each other calls to mind the Stasi informants of East Germany. And by the way, Sam, it reminds me of the propaganda spread by the Nazi Party about blacks and Jews in Germany before, you know, as it were, there was taking over. It really is quite chilling. So Caitlin concludes her article by saying this. This is just liberals being pushed toward targeting anyone who isn't ideologically aligned with them for destruction. I really, really hope it doesn't take off because it is profoundly ugly. Please don't let the manipulators trick you into ripping each other to pieces, America. They're only pointing you at each other so that you don't look at them. End of quote. Sam, that is wise counsel.
It certainly is, and I'll tell you what's even more interesting. Biden already reverses Trump's diversity training ban. And what they're really saying here is that, you know what? We have got to reprogram Trump supporters. All right? And I know it sounds crazy, but they literally believe that. Believe it or not, Christy Alley and Katie Couric had a big old brawl about this. It was on Real Time with Bill Maher's, or Bill Maher, anyway, and journalist Katie Couric said Trump supporters should be deprogrammed. She says their followers are involved in cult-like activities. Well, anyway, Christy nails her to the wall over this.
Cool.
And she really kind of doubles down and says, you know what? The Nazis, well, we're trying to program and or deprogram people and stuff like this. You know, if you didn't believe in the Nazis, they'd pull you in and say, we got to reprogram you to believe in our cause or whatever. And it's a serious big battle. And when you get rid of the university training, or I'm sorry, the universal, I'm sorry, the diversity training ban, you get a situation where, hey, they're going to reprogram you. So this is not a maybe or something that they're just talking about. This is in serious, serious circles. Ocasio-Cortez trying to get money for it. Katie Couric promoting it. Bill Maher, Real Time, they've got it discussed. Joe Biden then changes the game. This is serious business, lol. And I'll tell you what they're going to use. They're going to use global warming. And they're going to use these vaccines as their cornerstones. The split on that. The divide, they will paint you as an extremist that's got to be stopped. You're going to kill everybody with your views, lol.
Yeah. Just by breathing on people, I'm going to kill them. And if I don't kill them with my breath, then the climate change is going to kill them because I use fossil fuels to heat my home, Sam.
When they say cult-like activities, what does that mean? You know, these people have gone way too far. The only hope is that they overreach and expose themselves. Time will tell on how much the American people just suck this stuff up. All right. A warning for the vaccine hesitant. This illustrates my very point. Gary G. Coles, medical doctor. Lol?
It sure does, Sam. Gary G. Coles, MD, authored this column, which is posted at LouRockwell.com, and he's very direct. He says basically Big Pharma's nefarious money-making scheme is based on the widespread but false assertion that the new COVID-19 vaccines are effective in preventing COVID and infection and becoming contagious, right? They say that the COVID vaccines are effective in preventing infection and in preventing being contagious after inoculation, right? But neither is true, says Gary Coles, MD. All of the new vaccines are likely useless on both counts. He writes this. He says, quote, in fact, none of the big vaccine corporations that are making these potentially dangerous synthetic genome-modifying vaccines have actually made the claim that their vaccines are effective in preventing infection or contagion, even after getting the required two inoculations, much less the initial shot. The only claim these billionaire-owned pharmaceutical corporations make is that a certain percentage of vaccinated individuals are capable of developing some uncertain level of serological immunity, which means antibody protection. But it is well known, he says, that this is a bombshell that I had never read before, Sam. He says, it is well known that intramuscular injection of vaccines are incapable of stimulating cellular/mucosal immunity, which is the other most important part of human immunity, not mentioned at all by Big Pharma, of course. Cellular immunity is only possible with sufficient exposure to a natural infectious agent via inhalation of a sizable number of viral or bacterial-infected droplets. Holy cow. And so what he's saying, Sam, is just like a bombshell. In other words, that injection of this stuff, in what he calls intramuscular injection, is not even capable of stimulating cellular mucosal immunity. And that's what we need against COVID, this virus, right? And this airborne virus. We need that.
It's debatable if it's even airborne. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah. He says it must also be emphasized that true herd immunity cannot be achieved by vaccination. Herd immunity to infectious respiratory diseases can only be achieved by natural exposure to infectious bacteria or viral agents. Very interesting.
And I think they know that, and that's why they're kind of rolling this out slowly or whatever else and stuff, because they know that if people get it, then herd immunity will happen, and then they'll be able to say, well, see, the vaccines are the ones that accomplished that, and they've got to wait for it to kind of coincide. If they roll out the vaccines too fast, too early, and it doesn't do the job, then people are going to be going, what the heck?
And people are going, what the heck, already, because quite a number of people who have taken that vaccine have died. We talked about the 13 in Norway last week. We talked about the 55 in the United States who died, and that was before Hank Aaron died just a few days last week, just 16 days after his first COVID vaccine shot.
But you know they're saying that we aren't giving a reason why Hank died, right?
No, of course not. Yeah, I can't publicize that.
All right, Dr. Scott Atlas speaks out boldly. Sadly, he decided to resign, but he's a former White House coronavirus advisor. He said, we know the lockdowns don't work. They do not eliminate the virus. We see it all over the world. We have 80% of the people wearing masks and all these restrictions everywhere, and they don't do any good. We can see that blatantly now. He's spot on right.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana. That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the next question is, do you wish we could just have the truth told to the media? Liberty Roundtable Live comes to the rescue, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Atlas, former White House coronavirus advisor, said blatantly, publicly this: we know the lockdowns don't work. They do not eliminate the virus. We see it all over the world. We have 80% of people in the United States wearing masks. We have all these various levels of, quote, restrictions and lockdowns on businesses, on in-person schools, everywhere, and the virus is not eliminated or stopped by that at all. In fact, it's debatable if it's even slowed down by that. Now listen to this. In the Lancet magazine, or whatever you want to say, Lancet Journal, July 21st, 2020, we read, government actions such as border closures, full lockdowns, and a high rate of COVID-19 testing were not associated with statistically significant reductions in the number of critical cases or overall mortality. In other words, even the Lancet says it doesn't work. Scott Atlas says it doesn't work. But they continue to peddle the porn, the lie that, you know what? All you got to do is put your mask on and you'll save everybody's lives. All you got to do is stay at home. All you got to do is shut your business. All you got to. It's a lie. And now Anthony Fauci doubling down. Here's what he now says. Ready? The UK strain could be worse than we thought. Yeah, British officials. Virus variant may be deadlier. A coronavirus first detected in the UK, maybe about 30% more deadly than previous forms of the disease. And British scientists have already confirmed that it's 30% to 70% what, more spreadable than previous versions. It spreads faster. It may be associated with a higher degree of mortality. Folks, they are gearing this thing up. They're not slowing down one bit. They've seen that the American people will cave. It was probably an experiment at first, Lowell saying, you know, let's try this and see what kind of pushback we got. And everybody just flat out rolled over and embraced it. I mean, people are just giddy, frothing at the mouth to lock down and to wear, you know, masks and to shun each other and to social distance, which is so far from social as you could possibly imagine. And man, their experiment, they were shocked, I'm sure, of how well it really went for them, lol. I mean, it is amazing. You still there, lol? All right. I'll see if I can get lol back here. I'll try to work on that. I don't know what's going on, but The Lancet really, in my opinion, breaking this down in a meaningful, shocking, meaningful way. I don't really know what to think of it. But I'm telling you, these mainstream magazines are literally blatantly saying, hey, you know what? It's not working. What we're going through, what we're dealing with, what we're handling is not working. And so there you have it. And all of a sudden, my phone lines disappeared and everything else, man. Right when we talk about this critical topic, all my phone lines go away. Isn't that fascinating? And I'll have to try to see if I can get Lowell Nelson back. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty, doing a phenomenal job as he always does. You know, things work great on the radio when all the technology works well because I can talk and I can do all these things all by myself. But boy, when the technology goes down or has a problem, it's about to impossible to recover on my own. It's just, I don't know. How do the phone lines just magically go down? Anyway, I'll have to work on trying to reset those, I guess. But I'll tell you what, in the Lancet, they're literally saying that, hey, you know what? All this lockdowns and math, none of this stuff works. Dr. Scott Atlas saying it. Fauci saying it's going to get much, much, much worse. Look, we're almost a year into this coronavirus shutdown. Can society take it, folks? Right? In fact, there's an interesting article called Trading Today for Maybe Tomorrow. A very interesting column that Lowell Nelson at campaignforliberty.org passed to me to review. And it basically is from, I can't remember what it's called, like Robots is the guy's nickname or whatever. And he's basically saying, look, you take these elderly people hit the hardest by the coronavirus, right? And these poor people, man, it's just shocking. These poor people are literally trading today for tomorrow. See, if I tell you that you're going to have eternity, everybody laughs and goes, uh-huh, whatever, you know. But what they want you to do is they want you to believe if you're an elderly person, let's say that you're 70 years old. They want you to believe that every day you lock down now, you're going to have a better day to come if you're just patient. And what you don't want to do is get the coronavirus and get sick or die. So you got to lock down and trade your days now for days that you might get back later. And the longer this goes on, the less likely that will be for, say, a 70-year-old. Let's say that this coronavirus takes 5 years to work itself out, or 3 years, or whatever the number be. You're going to trade your last 3 years or 5 years of decent health, or whatever you want to say, and you're not going to get it back. And you know what? Also, you what? Don't die? Let's say you do die. You might die, you know, several years early. But at least you've been able to spend time with loved ones and everything else. And what we're doing is trading today for maybe tomorrow. Because you know what? We don't know what'll happen. How long will this go? If they keep this like the war on terror or the war on whatever, that, you know, these wars last forever. 20 years down the road, anybody that's 50 and above will have lost the rest of their lives. If I lose from 50 to 70 and then all of a sudden we can come out of the COVID and I've got how many years after 70 do I have? And how many healthy years, even if I live to 80, how well am I going to be when it comes to travel or to see loved ones and to, you know, I've lost some significant years of my life. How long is this going to last? I don't know, but we're a year into it. And now they say, hey, you know what? This is gearing up. The more virulent strain and the more deadly strain is coming. Right? What do you think of that? It's coming. And that is shocking, right? That is scary stuff. Great column, though, to kind of break it down and give us a handle on that. I don't know really what to think about that kind of a statement, except for he's right as rain. And the reason I say I don't know what to think about it is it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? It's overwhelming in its gravity. Trading today for maybe tomorrow. Very, very introspective column. A reflective column. And we lost Lowell. I do have my phone lines back, but Lowell's gone. It's so close to the end of the hour. I'd love to get him back. Don't see how I can. Anyway, what a sad tale. But great, great details, Lowell. Lowell also talked about an incredible column from John Rappaport. And John Rappaport's column says this: lockdown extremism, an obsession for the insane and the fascists. And he really breaks this down in meaningful ways, folks, that I find really quite, I don't know what word to use, quite valuable. He's right. And we have become lockdown extremists. We have become obsessed with it. It's scary, folks. We have come obsessed with this idea that if we just lock down another day, that, man, all's going to be well. But then another day is how long? I mean, in the beginning, they said, hey, all we need is, a week or two? You know, 10 days, 2 weeks lockdown, we'll be through this thing, we'll get a handle on it. And now we're almost a year later, and they're gearing up. They're not slowing down. They're gearing up. In fact, Joe Biden just, by executive order, by, I don't know what you want to call it, unprecedented godlike edicts, he just basically said, hey, you know what? If you don't want to go to work because you're scared of the cocoa, then don't go to work. We'll still give you a check. Don't worry. And I look at that and I go, man, how many people legitimately are scared of the virus, or how many will take advantage of that so they don't have to work? I mean, this is just insanity on steroids. I mean, it is shocking. But that's what Joe Biden just did. And, you know, this extremism, this lockdown extremism stuff has got to stop. I mean, the fascists love it. The insane love it. But it seems like a lot of people are just giddy about it. Now, I don't mind a little bit of social distancing, and I don't mind staying home a lot more and having simpler lives and, you know, businesses not being open as much for the most part. I don't mind a lot of that. I don't think it makes a lot of sense, but I don't mind a lot of that. But they're getting to the point where, look, what do they say now? 30% of small businesses have flat out shut down. I mean, that is huge. I mean, imagine that. 30% of small businesses are gone. This is going to remake America into the favor of the big, huge corporations. Small business, most of them, will never recover. Ladies and gentlemen, most of them will never recover. All right, elected officials have largely fallen short of protecting small businesses nationwide due to the pandemic. It's a huge article that I saw in the Daily Caller that's breaking this down. And I'm not really expecting elected officials to save your businesses under normal circumstances. But now they've continued to impose devastating restrictions, right? They have created devastating restrictions, folks. And that's kind of the problem, is that I don't really need government to save business. But when they restrict, then they've beyond fallen short of protecting the small business. They've destroyed small business. In 2020, according to Harvard University's economic tracker, right, they have stronger allegiance with other groups like labor, right? The Chamber of Commerce Vice President of Small Business, that all businesses are largely reliant. Anyway, major corporations have thrived as small businesses have crumbled under the weight of pandemic restrictions, folks. Think about that. Major corporations have thrived while small businesses have crumbled under the weight of pandemic restrictions. Wow. Between January 1, 2020 and December 31st, 2020, listen up, about 30% of U.S. small business closed. While small business revenue decreased by 31%, the numbers are shocking, folks. Just shocking. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Sorry we lost little Nelson. We'll get him back on Friday. Thanks for your patience. Don't know why the phone lines are having trouble. Maybe it was intentional. Don't know. All right, God save the Republic. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, please.